kind of going through a checklist. Do you have scars? How's your mouth doing? Have you ever had, chronic tonsillitis? And do you have, these chronic symptoms between brain and gut health? And does that tissue really need to be healed and addressed?
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So before there was functional medicine and before there was biohacking, there was a system of medicine that originated in Germany called biological medicine, now known as bioregulatory medicine. This is a system of medicine that goes even further upstream to truly understand the root cause of what's going on in your system. If the idea of optimizing your health is something that you are fascinated by, then my guest today is someone you are going to want to listen to. Since graduating from Bastyr University as a naturopathic physician, Dr. Christine Schaffner has worked to create a new kind of health journey, co-creating the world-renowned Sophia Health Institute with her mentor, Dr. Eitrich Klinghardt. Dr. Christine has cultivated unique skills and very advanced knowledge on uncommon treatment protocols like frequency and energetic medicine, and has worked with elite practitioners on treating chronic disease and persistent Lyme. She strives to improve access, outcomes, and speed of recovery for patients wherever they may be on their health journey. This was a fascinating conversation. We completely geeked out, and I promise it will change your life. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Dr. Christine Schaffner. Dr. Christine Schaffner, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
So exciting to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
It is absolutely my pleasure. And we've got some really exciting pieces to dig into. And I just want to warn everyone before we get started that we're discussing today something called biological medicine. And regardless of where this interview goes, we are going to geek out on the subject matter. So for those of you who are super into the science, are really interested in the performance side of medicine and all of the interesting caveats of how your body works that you never have an opportunity to hear about, we are going to delve into it today. So Christine, I'm wondering if you can kick this off by sharing with everyone, what is biological medicine?
It's a great question. And, I use the term biological medicine, but the mentors and the Americans who brought this medicine over from Europe are starting to use the term bioregulatory medicine to differentiate from the pharmaceutical industry's use of the term biologics. So you might hear me throughout this conversation kind of flip-flop between biological and bioregulatory medicine. But essentially, what this field of medicine is, it's really a holistic system that views the body as this interconnected web. We're more than our physical body. We have our mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies. And it really, how we were trained, Megan, in naturopathic school, that we have this inherent healing ability. We call it in naturopathic medicine the vital force. And our goal as physicians, clinicians who are practicing biological medicine is to remove the obstacles in the body's way, that intelligent self-regulatory ability. And so it's really, that's why, this kind of field has developed into this term of bioregulatory medicine, because we're always looking at how we can optimize self-regulation, and we can go into all of what that means. But I'm always, before, I really dived into the study of biological medicine, I really feel like health is resilience and adaptation to our life stressors. And biological medicine really holds that framework to be true and has lots of modalities and principles to help uncover what people's blocks to healing really are.
And when we talk about biological medicine, we're talking about actual, or in this case, bioregulatory medicine, we're talking about physiological experiences within the body, not the woo of The vital force is fixing the body. And I would love for you to go there with people, because it's one of the areas that people want to criticize naturopathic medicine. They're like, oh, it's all based on this theory that the body has this magical force that can heal itself. And what I love about the idea of bioregulatory medicine is now we're like, hold on a second. There's this whole element in communication capacity within the body that is actually the science behind this observation that so many naturopathic doctors and natural healers have been observing for hundreds of years. Can you break that down a little bit for people?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I really appreciate you saying that, because while a lot of us in the field of naturopathic medicine are really open-minded and can be labeled woo, you know, there is such grounded science to explain some of these phenomena. And that's, you know, I did a summit called The Body Electric, and I'm going to be doing a summit called The Body Electric too. And my goal for a lot of the summits and the education that I put on is to share really the science behind maybe seemingly esoteric or obscure ideas. So I think that's a great question, Megan. And so we know that we have, you know, the body's always trying to maintain a level of what we call homeostasis and balance. And we have many different key systems in the body that help us to self-regulate and for there to be effective communication so the body can self-regulate and heal. And so there are two systems that I think are really important to talk about in really bringing this idea of self-regulation to light that biological medicine does really well. One is the idea of the autonomic nervous system, right? And so we know in naturopathic medicine, we know in functional medicine, a lot of people are talking about parasympathetic, right? We need to get in this parasympathetic state to rest, digest, and heal and recover. And so it's this really fine-tuned balance of these two arms of the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic, that we need. We need this fight or flight state when we need to respond quickly. And then we need, on the flip side, our parasympathetic state, as I shared, to rest, digest, and heal. And what happens when we're chronically stressed in modern life, we can be stuck in sympathetic or even stuck in what we call freeze mode. Stephen Porges and Peter Levine have done awesome work in describing how we can get, when we're chronically stressed or we're traumatized, that we can get stuck in this frozen mode too. So it's really fight, flight, or freeze now that we talk about. And then there's also this parasympathetic state. So one of the key aspects in bioregulatory medicine is looking at the functioning of the autonomic nervous system. And there are many tools that we can use to do that. We can use what we call heart rate variability that I'm happy to share with more. We also use something called regulation thermometry, which looks, it's a window into the autonomic nervous system and seeing how the body responds to a temperature stress. And if the body is resilient and responding, we'll see a change. The hardest part when the body is in a maladaptive and disease state, and it's not responding anymore, and there's what we call blocked regulation. So part of the goal of a biological medicine practitioner is to uncover what is creating this blocked regulation, and that can be things that we can talk about today, from neurotoxins to pathogens to scars to interference fields and so forth. And so that is really one lens that I want to think about when we're describing the vital force and the body's ability to self-regulate. The biological medicine has many tools and modalities to basically diagnose and also treat. And then the other part that I think is a key differentiator around biological medicine is this whole concept of the extracellular matrix and the lymphatic system. And I'm happy to dive into that even more deeply, but, and to just answer your question here, there's a lot of regulation that's happening outside of the cell. So we know, we study in biology, cell biology, all of the inner workings of the cell, but it's really not only about what's happening inside the cell. Biological medicine will make the case that really what's actually happening outside of the cell really dictates that, you know, that communication. And so there's a lot that we can do to support a healthy extracellular matrix, a healthy lymphatic system, to allow the body to communicate, self-regulate, and heal.
This is always so interesting to me, because I think the way so many, I'll call them consumers of health, have been trained is that I have a disease state. I've crossed a threshold from healthy to unhealthy, as if there's only two states for the body. And when I have a disease, I go and I get something and I remove the symptoms of that disease. And when we start to talk about this idea of blocked regulation, I feel like what we are really also talking to is this whole no man's land in the middle, where we haven't necessarily crossed over to that threshold of unhealthy, but we're certainly not in our state of optimal health. And I want us to talk about the extracellular matrix. I had written this down beforehand because I just find this so fascinating. But can we just paint a picture for listeners of how their body may actually be feeling, what kind of symptoms they may be seeing in that no man's land of blocked regulation that usually precedes a full-blown disease state?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. And as you said, there's this spectrum or continuum of health, right? And so especially for your listeners who are wanting to optimize their health, maybe not be in a chronic disease state, but start feeling that maybe they're starting, their energy is getting low, their mood is not quite the same. We look a lot about blood flow, circulation, lymphatic drainage. So signs and symptoms of poor blood flow and lymphatic drainage can be multisystemic, but we can think about swelling, bloating, cold hands and feet. And then we can also, of course, think about things that have to do with, sleep and brain fog and our digestion. And, I would say to answer your question specifically, you don't have to have these full blown symptoms, but it's just these nudges in your body. I mean, I think for women who are listening, the most clear thing to illustrate this is, when we think about our menstrual cycle, many women have the story like, oh, I have PMS, I have painful periods. Really, your menstrual cycle should be a non-event, right? It should be something that happens on a regular basis and that you don't have symptoms around, but other than bleeding. And so I think for a lot of women, that's like, wait a second, I thought PMS was normal, or swollen boobs, or, just moodiness. And while a lot of us contextualize that as normal because so many people experience that because of things that are blocking their regulation, we accept that. But that should just be, a healthy, normal, non-event every month. And so so maybe bringing that, to the conversation, because, we should really feel good every day and energized if we're treating ourselves well. And I know a lot of your audience are so proactive, right? And they're doing so many things to attain a healthy mind, body, and spirit. And so if you're not feeling your optimal self, this is absolutely a checklist that we should go through to help optimize and increase your regulatory capacity.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so before we break down how we are assessing some of these pieces and then to blocked regulation, talk to us a little bit more about what the extracellular matrix is and what goes on there. Because I have a biology degree and I can tell you, when we talked about the extracellular matrix, the ECM and all of my biology notes were like, meh, it carries a few things that the cells are going to need, but mostly this is just the middle fluid that fills in the space around cells. And what we now realize is that was a completely negligent assessment of what this matrix and what this fluid's all about. Take people through what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much. It's something that the more I learn about, the more I go deeper in, and there's so many discoveries constantly. And I think really the future of health and our modalities that we share with people really work on this level. And so Dr. Alfred Pischinger wrote a book called The Extracellular Matrix and Ground Regulation. He was a German medical doctor, and he really started precedenting that almost every disease, he believes, starts within the extracellular matrix. And so when we talk about the extracellular matrix, it's this space between the cells. And so when we think about, the common visual, if you look in Google an extracellular matrix picture, you'll see that blood is flowing into our tissues through capillary beds. So that's when the arteries get really small. Blood is moving through these spaces to deliver oxygen and nutrients. And also lymph is leaving the blood, the capillaries, rather. It's leaving, this fluid is leaving the capillaries, and it's starting to bathe and bring nutrients to the extracellular matrix and then remove waste in the extracellular matrix and get drained through the lymphatics. And as that lymph crosses the extracellular matrix, you will see proteins such as collagen, right? There's a lot of information around collagen. Collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, and it's not just a structural protein. And the more we learn about collagen, And we learn about how modern day intoxicants like glyphosate are disrupting our collagen synthesis, and we're getting glyphosate where we should have glycine in our collagen. But beyond that, collagen is really a communication protein in the body. It's almost the semiconductor fiber optic light conductive protein that is a transporter of communication. So a lot of communication happens in the matrix. And then there's also other structural proteins that have more than just structure, like hyaluronic acid and things like glucosaminoglycans and fibroblasts and immune cells. And a lot of our colleagues talk about mast cell activation syndrome and the mast cells in the extracellular matrix. And what can happen in the extracellular matrix, this is the place where, you know, I treat a lot of people for Lyme and co-infections. So Lyme loves to hang out and digest proteins in the extracellular matrix. Heavy metals, because of their charge, can bind to proteins in the extracellular matrix. I already mentioned glyphosate. So there's a lot of things that are happening, but there's a lot that can go wrong. And when we start bioaccumulating these toxicants and or pathogens, we're starting to break down that highly interconnected network in the body. And one other thing I just want to add, Megan, to this conversation is there's a wonderful man, Dr. James Oshman, and he wrote a book called Energy Medicine. So he really wrote the textbook of biophysics and really explaining that this is not woo, but this is actually, you know, a very grounded scientific system of how our body communicates. And he coined the term the living matrix. And what the living matrix basically describes is that, okay, we have the extracellular matrix, we have the intracellular matrix, but really these aren't even two body compartments. They're highly interconnected because the proteins, those molecules that I just described, actually connect via the cell membrane, cross the cell membrane, connect through the cytoskeleton, and form the DNA. So what's happening in the extracellular matrix absolutely affects our epigenetic transcription of DNA.
Okay, so now let's get into this idea of blocked regulation. When we are literally trying to build DNA, we are literally trying to message things from the blueprint of our bodies. What happens when there is disruption in that matrix or in the biological terrain?
It's a great question. So when we see a breakdown and we see a buildup and a bioaccumulation of these things, one of the first things that I see in my practice is the lymphatic system starts to become sluggish and stagnant. And the lymphatic system is such a key to our recovering our health and also keeping our system healthy, because it's this waste removal system, but it's also a key part of our immune system. So I'm happy to share, you know, throughout this conversation for your audience, how to really keep the lymph moving, because I think this is absolutely a key to performance and optimization and preventing illness. So we see this kind of lymphatic stagnation. And then when the lymph can't drain properly, then all of this waste isn't getting removed. And then that can affect basically the communication in between the cells. And then we see a breakdown of this cell-to-cell communication. And that's when that's where we see disease develop. One kind of modern day thought, and I'm in no way an expert in the cell danger response, but I think what Dr. Navio is beautifully sharing is kind of what is happening in the extracellular matrix when a cell has been stressed for so long. When a cell gets stressed because of all of the things we just shared, it then has this feedback loop of throwing out ATP into the extracellular matrix, telling all the other cells to become stressed. And we're in this spiral and feedback loop of chronic stress and a breakdown of communication, waste buildup, and then that begins where we see disease.
Well, and I think everyone can relate to this in their own body. They're like, it's like I was stressed or my body experienced some sort of trauma and I can't turn it off. Is that what we're talking about, where we get these feedback loops of inflammation, or we get these feedback loops of, you know, chronic adrenal fatigue or chronic fatigue in general? Is that what we're talking about here? Is this just ongoing messaging where we can't break the loop within the cells and extracellular matrix?
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to, you know, bring this to light. And, you know, that's where the body gets stuck and loses that communication and that regulatory ability. And our jobs as physicians are to help to start creating movement within the extracellular matrix, the lymphatics, move the toxicants out, create, give the body building blocks, decrease inflammation, restore communication so the body can start regulating and healing and what it knows how to do.
How would you differentiate that approach from a term I know a lot of people have heard, which is functional medicine?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. And functional medicine, I have a lot of respect for the functional medicine movement. I think they've done a great service to our society, bringing forth another form of healing beyond conventional medicine. Functional medicine is a great tool, but as we are talking about functional medicine, it's really focusing on a lot of nutritional and lifestyle aspects, which is, of course, fundamental to our health. And it's a lot of, substitution medicine where, you know, we'll do a NutriEval or look at, nutritional deficiencies and then give you supplements to replace those nutritional deficiencies. Also, there can be specialty tests that look at, you know, the gut microbiome and dealing with, you know, chronic pathogens. And I think there's a huge role in that. I think biological medicine takes it a step further and says, hey, we have these things. Okay, we have nutritional deficiencies, we have gut dysbiosis, but we can't just assume giving like antiparasitic herbs and B12 are going to heal a person. How do we not only give those items, because that's part of biological medicine too, we also give those items, but how do we at the same time make sure that given this information, the body can overcome any obstacles to regulation and really heal and not have this vicious cycle of treat symptoms, get better, then get worse, then, you know, this pattern of not really fully recovering. I think the biological framework really allows people to really have this restorative health and really truly recover. A lot of my patients have tried so many things. They've seen amazing doctors. They're not still sick from a lack of trying. It's just they haven't maybe uncovered those roadblocks to regulation so their body can truly heal.
Can we have genetic predispositions to poor regulation or blocked regulation?
You know, I think that's a great question. And in, you know, biological medicine, we look a lot at epigenetics, right? So we look at our genetic blueprint, and then we look at this really empowering idea of our genetic blueprint at looking at epigenetics, right? So epigenetics is how our environment can really regulate our genes. And so I do think there's probably, I haven't studied this specifically, but I think there are probably propensities or SNPs that some people may have that might make them more prone to bioaccumulation of toxicants. And so that could be a factor to overcome so the body can regulate more properly and not get so easily off track.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how we assess these pieces. And for those of you who are like, wait a second, what are epigenetics? We have a ton of resources around it, and we can circle back to it. But I would like to really delve into this, which is how do we assess for this blocked regulation? You started to talk about that a little bit before, and I promised we'd come back to it.
Yeah, if you're just sitting at home, we can just go through a checklist of many things that could often create blocked regulation. And then I can also share some tools and strategies for assessment. So one, thing that we often look at is we do a surgical history, or really what we're looking for is a scar history. So scars that can be from surgeries, traumas, they can actually affect our ability to regulate. So what we've seen, one of the tools in biological medicine is called neurotherapy, which is an injection technique. And in the field of neurotherapy, they talk a lot about regulation, interference fields. And part of neurotherapy is to do what we call scar therapy, which you can do with needles or without needles. But what we found to be true in a scar is scar tissue is very different from healthy tissue in that it actually has a lower resting cell membrane potential than a healthy cell. So that alone is also a stress to the autonomic nervous system, and it's sending stress signals to our body's ability to self-regulate. There's also qualities to scar tissue to make it more prone to the bioaccumulation of toxicants. All those things that I mentioned that get stuck in the extracellular matrix. Now imagine scar tissue, which is kind of this more closely knitted fabric within the extracellular matrix. More of those things are going to get caught and bioaccumulate into the scar. And then the other thing about the scar is going to actually affect the lymphatic system and the extracellular matrix in surrounding tissues, preventing that tissue from proper blood flow, drainage, and it can, for people who have studied acupuncture, can affect the meridian system depending on where the scar is located. So if you have a scar, one of the things that we think is really helpful for helping to just make sure that the body is self-regulating is treating the scar. So you can see a neurotherapist, or you can also use light or also topicals to massage and to help break down that scar tissue over time. One thing that scars can also bioaccumulate is trauma. So we know that we not only have toxic exposure in our cells, but we can also store emotions and memory. There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score that I always, like to reference when we're talking about that, because it's not woo, it's very real, finding. And I've seen very often, especially like, for instance, a C-section scar that women have had, often, there's a lot of emotions and feelings around that. And when I inject a C-section scar, often that is paired with an emotional release, which is really healthy for the body. So by breaking down that scar tissue, releasing that trapped emotion, we're getting regulation and flow in that tissue, and we're decreasing stress to the nervous system. So scar therapy is one of those really fun treatments for me, because I see, again, these emotional releases. I see, wild things happen, like when I injected a scar on someone's back, a mole removal, their heart palpitations, went away. And I don't have words always to describe that. But when you learn about the fascia, the living matrix, we can, have this this effect on distant tissues. And so if you have a scar, that's one thing to look at. The other thing that we look at is we look a lot at the mouth. There are a lot of things in our dental history that can impact our ability to regulate and heal. So we look for amalgam fillings, which are full of mercury and known neurotoxin that can accumulate in our nerves and our neurons and can affect communication, amongst many other things. We look for root canal teeth. Root canals can actually, they're dead teeth, and they can actually harbor bacteria over time that can affect us systemically. There's also an acupuncture organ connection with each tooth. And then we also look at the wisdom teeth and see if they if people had their wisdom teeth pulled, if that jawbone healed properly. Because if it didn't heal properly, it's going to be a source potentially of necrotic tissue that can affect the nervous system. And the immune system and the lymphatic system. So there's a lot happening in the mouth that it often gets missed. And so I think a big part of biological medicine, I have a speaker on an upcoming speaker series, Dr. Louisa Williams, who's a naturopath and a chiropractor. And she wrote a wonderful book called Radical Medicine. And when I was at Bastyr, her book was just coming out, and I went to Brown Bag Lunch. And I remember her asking us all, what's the first question you ask your patient? And we're all like, are they gluten-free? Like all these things. Like, you always look in their mouth, because there's all often, problems in their mouth that are affecting their system. And then another checklist is not only focal infections in the mouth, but there can be other areas in the body of what we call a focal infection, where it's an area that the immune system isn't responding well to anymore, and it can be a source of chronic infection that can be draining the body's energy. A lot of my patients have what we call a tonsil interference field. So we have this ring of lymphatic tissue in the base of our throat. We don't just have the palatine tonsils, but we have, it's called Waldeyer's ring, and there's five lymphatic tissues in the base of the throat. And I find that can be an often compromised tissue with a lot of, what we call a focal infection, and that can affect drainage in the brain and the gut immune system. And so these can be, again, roadblocks to someone's healing. So kind of going through a checklist, do you have scars? How's your mouth doing? Have you ever had, chronic tonsillitis? And do you have, these chronic symptoms between brain and gut health? And does that tissue really need to be healed and addressed? So those are some some just, you know, again, checklists to think about. And then a lot of biological medicine practitioners use something called heart rate variability. Heart rate variability is looking for the variability between heartbeats. And the cool thing, Megan, is, as you, I'm sure, are well aware, there are so many wearable technologies and so many technologies for patients to use at home now to actually assess their heart rate variability. And heart rate variability is this window into our nervous system. And we want more variability if we have more regulation and more ability to get into a parasympathetic state. So heart rate variability is a great way and window into the autonomic nervous system. And you can also track your therapeutics. You can track, you know, just your baseline before and after a treatment to see how that increases regulation and variability in your body. The other often, you know, assessment tool that we use in bioregulatory medicine is regulation thermometry. We have a system called alpha thermometry, and it uses basically the stress of temperature change to see how the capillaries essentially restrict to that temperature change, because that's a, it's called the visceral cutaneal reflex arc. So basically, window into the autonomic regulation. And then we can see all sorts of things with thermometry. We can see if the lymphatic system is blocked, the breast health in relationship to the whole body, the dental health. And so it's a really great tool. So those are, you know, of course, we use blood work. We look at you know, we have specialty labs. Also, bioregulatory and biological medicine practitioners tend to be very open to using bioenergetics. And bioenergetics is a very big topic. There's a lot of tools and therapies, but it's basically based on the premise that our body communicates with modalities and information related to biophysics. And that has to do with our electrical and magnetic nature and how we can read and assess that. And so there are many pieces of equipment that have come out of Europe that a lot of bioregulatory medical practitioners use to assess their patient and also assess what treatment will be helpful for them. I don't personally use dark field microscopy in my practice, but a lot of patients or practitioners rather who do this form of medicine often look at live blood. They'll take a little blood sample and look under the microscope and see if there's any patterns or themes to understand what's going on in the terrain and the extracellular matrix and within the cells. And so that's just kind of like a really, you know, high level overview. There's so many tools and modalities within this form of medicine, but those are the big ones.
And for someone, I was like, oh, there's so many places I want to go, but I'm going to stay focused. If someone were to see a practitioner such as yourself, what can they expect on the treatment side? And further to that question, who is the ideal patient to see a bioregulatory or biological medicine practitioner?
It's a great question. And so, you know, what you would expect often, you're going to someone's office, they typically will put you through a drill of assessment tools of maybe a combination of what I shared. And then they'll develop a protocol based on that feedback. So it's highly individualized, which I always appreciate about this style and form of medicine. So there's not one size fit all. There are themes and patterns, of course, like anything, but there's not one size fits all. And then one of the big things where people will start will be, how do we get this extracellular matrix draining? How do we get the lymphatic system moving? How do we start gently nudging our body to have healthy elimination? So a big part also is looking at the health of our organs of elimination, which can be our colon, our liver, our skin, our lungs, our kidneys, and seeing that, you know, how, you know, if there are any symptoms or things that can be optimized in these systems. So there's going to be foundational recommendations. And then let's say you do have a dental interference field, or you still have a mouthful of amalgams. There's also a combination of working with a biological medicine or biological dentist, rather, in combination with a biological medicine physician to help optimize and really do this in a safe way to remove mercury and then begin the detoxification process. So So that is, I could totally go down the rabbit hole with treatments and, share ideas, but it's usually a combination of foundational lifestyle. We use a lot of nutritional supplements, but also supplements that we would call homeopathic drainage remedies that can actually help with helping to signal drainage in the extracellular matrix. We also do use IV therapy a lot. We use lymphatic therapies, whether they're at home or manual techniques. So it's a very we have such a big toolkit, Megan. I think about our colleagues in the conventional world, which I'm sure there's so many great people in that world, but then they're highly, highly trained, and then they have such a small toolkit. Our problem is we have this really big toolkit, and how do we make sure we're prioritizing and really optimizing specifically for our patients?
Yeah, it's such a great point. And I really feel like there's going to be an opportunity for so many people to learn more of the specifics, more around the approaches in your upcoming speaker series. Can you just let everyone know what that's going to look like? Because I think it's going to be of interest to so many of our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And so this was a really fun project for me to put together. And we are calling it the Beyond Biological Medicine Speaker Series. It's coming up in the end of September here pretty quick. And we go through a lot of the topics such as terrain and this idea, it's not just about a bug, but it's the body's response to the bug. And so Dr. Zach Bush is on the summit and Kiran Krishnan and, some really wonderful speakers. Also, Dr. Maya Sheetreat. We talk about bioenergetics. So Dr. Karim Danani, who's a naturopath in Toronto, actually, he's on the speaker series. Kimchi Moyer, who's been doing this for decades and bridging the gap between Europe and America, and she is very highly skilled in bioenergetics. Dr. Buttar actually is also on the speaker series, and he talks a lot about bioenergetics. We go through the extracellular matrix, fascia, lymph, and interference field. So Dr. Louisa Williams, Dr. Rob Cass, who founded Physica Energetics, Kelly Kennedy, who's become a dear friend, who works with the creator of a piece of equipment called Flow Presso, which is this compression lymphatic suit paired with infrared and PEMF. So she's a lot of fun. And then we have Dr. Nunnally and Dr. Freeman, who have a wonderful biological dentistry practice in Texas. And so they talk about that. We go through environmental toxicants, so GMOs with Jeffrey Smith and Dr. Michelle Perro around glyphosate and Lloyd Burrell around EMF. Talk a lot about psycho-emotional healing. Nikki Gratrix, who's awesome and does a lot of this work. And then through this speaker series, I met an Austrian man. His name is Rasmus Gaut-Berghausen, and he developed a system of using that heart rate variability, but converting it to sound and playing it back to you as an ultimate biofeedback tool. Open up the heart. So it's pretty awesome. And then we have Dr. Ginger Nash talking about miasm, who's also, she's a naturopath. And then Dr. Dan Beelan, who created the alpha thermometry. And then Dr. James O'Dell, he is awesome. He has a website. If any of this has piqued your curiosity, he also has a website that he developed through his passion of just educating the public around what bioregulatory medicine is. And it's called brmi.online. And it's a library of all the things I just shared. You can go deeper. And he also co-wrote a book on bioregulatory medicine, which is a great start. So we have a lot of wonderful speakers. I feel like this information is so needed to get out into the world. And a big goal for mine, Megan, is really getting people this information sooner so they don't develop a chronic illness and so they can really live the lives we all want them to live and be in their passion and purpose, which I know you're so passionate about helping people align to.
Absolutely. And we're going to hook everyone up with a link to be able to join the speaker series in our show notes. But before we tell people how to find those with any degree of specificity, I've got a few rapid fire questions that I'd love to throw your way. And we call these our KPIs. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. Are you ready?
Love it.
Okay. First one, what's the most important book you have read during the pandemic?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I have, you know, this is going to probably sound silly for the listeners, but I've delved into an area of study called color puncture, which is this is another thing that is related to bioregulatory medicine. But I think we need tools to access how we can process these intense emotional states, you know, that we're going through during the pandemic, right? You know, the pandemic has just brought us all to our knees of really looking at our lives and where we need to transform and how where we need to release emotions. So it's been really fun to dive into that work.
What's the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
I walk every morning.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
You know, I wear many hats, Megan, like you, and I am really proud of what I've created, not only in my practice of medicine over the 10 years, but I have created, a few clinics, a spa, an online presence. And it just is amazing to think how fast these 10 years have gone. And in a weird way, I feel like I'm just getting started.
I love it. What do you do for fun or play?
You know, I really enjoy being with my friends. And so I have a 2-year-old who keeps me on my toes and just brings me so much joy to especially this time. And then we have a really great community of friends that we've been able to stay in touch with even through the pandemic. So that gives me connection and community are really important to me. And of course, yoga.
And last question for you, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Great question. I think one of the key things that entrepreneurs have in their system is this knowingness of resilience, which is, you know, fitting for this conversation. I think many of us who are entrepreneurs have gone through maybe life circumstances and they're not afraid of the challenge and have an internal knowingness. No matter what obstacle they face, they know they will get through it and have the tools to do so.
What a beautiful answer, Dr. Christine Schaffner. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, this was so much fun, Megan. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Just one last quick question for you. Where can we send people to learn a little bit more about what you are up to? We're going to hook them up with a link to the speaker series.
Oh, thank you. So I have a website, drchristineschaffner.com, and you'll find out about my practice, my podcast, and all the things I'm up to.
Amazing. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
If you found today's interview as fascinating as I did, I'm going to highly encourage you to check out Dr. Schaffner's upcoming speaker series all about biological medicine. She has literally pulled together a collection of some of the world's greatest minds as it pertains to the system of root cause medicine that I have literally seen change hundreds of people's lives. Guests like Dr. Christine and conversations like the ones we had today about biological medicine are the types of things that we discuss all the time over in our own group, the Anthropology Collective. If you were interested in what was going down today, I would highly suggest you come and join us over there tomorrow. Head on over to Facebook, look up Anthropology Collective, and come and join the conversation. Until next week, I am Dr. Megan Walker, and I can't wait to see you soon.